Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of the One Board Podcast.
Yeah.
This is Rick White here with the man on whom the character Ace Ventura was based, Ryan Gutowski.
Alrighty then. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing okay. We started soccer conditioning, and I am sore as all get out, but otherwise okay.
I'm currently in the middle of hot wing season, and I feel very much like you. My quads are burning, my biceps, a lot of wing to mouth, wing to mouth, wing to dip, and then back to the mouth.
Yes.
And so I'm probably just as sore as you.
Yeah, probably, to be fair.
I'm also conditioning.
Yes.
So I think people don't know that the other one, whoever introduces the show, the other person has no idea how they're going to introduce the other person. I think that's become, over the past 10 episodes, that's one of my favorite things. Because I never know what you're going to say, and you don't know what I'm going to say. And every once in a while, there's a screw up, and it's like, oh man, that was a rough one. So,
yeah. There you go. And sometimes I end up being a New Year's baby in a giant diaper.
Oh, that's the best. Sometimes things happen. We're going to get some fan art with you in a giant diaper. I'm going to love that.
I'm going to throw up.
I already have. I've got a wastebasket right here.
So, Ryan, before we get started, just a quick recap of my past 2 weeks. I've been teaching a board game class at my school and have had the opportunity to bring in some awesome game designers that we've been kind of contacting over the lifetime of One Board Family. I was able to talk with Carla Kopp today, who we interviewed on One Board Family for Stellar Leap.
Yep.
And she talked to my students, and we talked to the Gyrating Hamsters folks as well. And then I also talked to Chad over at 25th Century Games, actually was able to come to our school.
That's awesome.
And talk with my students and kind of give them the lowdown on how game design works. So that has been a really cool experience, and my students have come up with some really cool games.
That's exciting, man. I'm really looking forward to hearing. You were telling me on the phone the other day about how that's going and just the creativity that these kids are bringing to the table. And what I love is that you're able to bring the passion of board gaming into the classroom and get these kids excited about it. I think about the fact that, you know, when we show another kid, when we show somebody's child a new board game, they're like, whoa, what is this? You know, so I can just imagine a room full of kids that are just, you're opening up their mind all at once. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And I really enjoyed having teach the class, and I hope that I'm able to keep doing it for years. But anyway, that's just a quick side note, because today we have a very busy episode. We have been around a year and a half now, longer.
Yeah, a little longer than that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we have never done the, you know, staple of the board game review website, and that is a top five list of our favorite games, Ryan. And today, we're doing it, man. We are going there with this podcast.
And I guess some of the methodology from, and yours might be different, Rick. Some of the things that I thought about picking in my top five, I don't know, even though I've played hundreds and hundreds of different board games, I don't know that I could say these are the all-time best games. But these are games that really made an impression on me and continue to make an impression on me. And so these are the games that if you said at any point, hey, let's play this game, I would be at the table unboxing it. And so that's kind of why I picked the five games I picked. So how did you approach it, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with a top five, it's definitely a personal list. I know that my games that I've selected here are not the best five games out there. Though some of them, one in particular, might be kind of considered in that. But it's definitely games that I enjoy. I have, you know, things that I look for in a game. I'm not going to sit down and play a four-hour game. I've never done that before. And maybe I would enjoy it if I had done it, but I like a quick experience sometimes. I like a game where everybody has had fun. That's something I'm really valuing in a game. So there are some things in here that I think most everything I've talked about on our website or we'll probably be doing soon. And one thing I think is important for us is that, you know, when we review a game, we often say, like, if we recommend it and who we recommend it to. And that can maybe be confusing for people where it's like, well, you've told me about all these great games, like, but which ones do you guys, like, really like? So maybe this list will kind of help some people to know, like, maybe you can narrow down of all the things that we've reviewed in the past, what games are, you know, the ones that you should be looking out for.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So let's start with number five. Rick, what do you have?
So for number five, I have Jungle Speed. And Jungle Speed is a game I actually played today at school with some of my kids. We had about 10 minutes to kill, and I was like, you guys want to play Jungle Speed? And they said, yeah! Jungle Speed, I've reviewed it on the site before, but it's a very basic game where each player has a stack of cards that have shapes on them that some of them are very similar to each other, and they're all different colors, and you flip over your cards one at a time, and if there's ever a match between two people, those two people have to quickly grab a little plastic totem that's in the middle of the table, and whoever doesn't grab it has to take the other person's stack of cards that they flipped over and their own stack and put them on the bottom of their pile, and then the first person that goes out wins. And very basic concept, very easy to learn, but there's just so many laughs that come from that quick totem grab of, you know, whether you grab it real quick and, you know, the other person just sit there like with this look on their face of, oh yeah, I was supposed to go. Or, you know, people end up wrestling on the ground for the totem, in which I've seen both examples. It's a really fun game.
And that's really cool because it's a dexterity game that gets everybody involved, no matter who they are. You know, we talked about dexterity games on the last episode, and I think that Jungle Speed is a great fit because you love having fun around the table. You love laughing. It's very fitting with your personality, this fun game at number five.
Yeah, it's a game where, like you said, like everybody has to be paying attention at all times.
Yeah, yeah.
And it usually finishes within 5 to 10 minutes. So you're never stuck waiting around, which I think can really kill the vibe for a game night. But yeah, it's a really solid game that gets everyone involved.
That's great. Number five for myself is Above and Below. This is Red Raven Games made this, and it came out a couple years ago. We've had this game in our home for almost a year. Above and Below is a storytelling game. The story that leads you into this game is that you have a group of people, this small community, and you're resettling them in this foreign land. Their homeland has been destroyed, and they're now in this new area, and they're making a new life for themselves. And so you've got these really, the components of this game are pretty incredible. The artwork is done by Ryan Lockett, Red Raven Games. He does all his game development and artwork himself, and it's just so cohesive. Everything that is in that game works together so well. And you mentioned it in a previous episode about it being kind of a worker placement game. Mm-hmm. You're placing these people out you take your builders and you build something. You take your people to kind of recruit, and those people recruit people to be part of your community. I love the way that as many times as I've played it, I feel like I'm always learning something every time I play that game. Every time we get it around the table, I feel like there's another strategy that I can go for and try something different. I may not win, but I feel like I've experienced another facet of that game. And it being a storytelling game, I think one of the things that I really enjoy is hearing a new story. One of the elements of the game is that you go into these caves to explore. And once a cave is explored, you can build inside the cave. So you're building structures above and below.
Whoa!
See? I know. Mind blown. That's where the game name comes from. So as you explore these dungeons, you're getting out of the storybook of a hundred and something. Well, you've got my game right now, so it's a hundred and something.
Yes, I
different,
do.
different sort. By the way, I need that back because I want to play. you've got 100 and something different stories written out in this book, and there's a follow-up to this game called Near and Far, and I hear that it just does everything better. And so I'm looking forward to eventually getting Near and Far, but for right now, Above and Below, man, that's my number five game.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I played it with some friends, and the only issue we had with it was that it lasted longer than I thought it would, because it does. Yeah. I mean, it's a little more complex, so it's going to take some time to explain the rules. There are games that like only have that storytelling mechanic. Tales of the Arabian Nights and Agents of Smersh are games that do that, where it's kind of like a choose your own adventure game. But I do like that Above and Below has other game elements to it that you have to manage. And so it's a little lighter on the tails part, and then a little lighter on the worker placement, in a way so that they can kind of all come together and be a pretty fun game.
And yeah, I think it's a good mashup of those. The storytelling is not super deep, but, and the worker placement is not super difficult. And so it's a game that, my son has played with us, I think, two different times. And so you can get your kids into Above and Below, and they can have a great time. So, that's on my list. So.
Awesome.
Let's go to number four.
Number four. We need to get those, you know, fancy like things to say. The
pre-produced bumpers. Get somebody with a good voice instead of us on there. I think it'd be good.
Or like we try really hard, like number four. Number You know, I'll audition later. Yeah, yours was already better. I already lost. Okay, so anyway, my number four is a game that I got my hands on in November, I think, or whenever it was the last time you came and visited. And that's Looney Quest. Looney Quest is one that the concept of it intrigued me for a really long time. And, you know, finally playing it, I was like, yeah, this game is as awesome as I thought. It involves everybody getting a clear piece of plastic and some white, like dry erase board looking things that aren't dry erase boards, and a box with a whole bunch of images on it. Now, that sounds like a weird setup, but what happens is the whole vibe kind of has this video game feel to it, but on these images, on these, you know, different, there's like, I think, 35 different ones, there are these levels of like a video game, and your job is on that clear piece of plastic you got to draw circles or lines or dots that accomplish whatever the mission is for that particular level that you are on. So it might be that you draw a line from one corner of the board to another and try to get as many coins as you can. Or it might be that you have to draw circles around particular objects on the board. And all of this is done on your piece of plastic while the image sits in the middle of the table. So you're all looking at it. You've got like 30 seconds to accomplish it. And so you're having to kind of figure out where is that thing on the board and how do I make sure I space that out on my little piece of plastic. It sounds, as I'm saying it, I feel like I'm not doing it justice, but it really is pretty fun. And like the whole theme and the whole vibe is very cartoony, very, you know, fun. They've got like a picture of like a bird attached to tied to a rocket on the cover of the box. And just, it's so colorful and things. And, you know, one thing that's odd that stands out to me is its score tracker are these like little sticks that you stick in between the box insert and the box itself. All around the rim of the all around the rim of the box are little, you know, numbers to represent your points. So you could just kind of track it like that. I don't know. I just thought that was really cool. So it's a really fun game that everybody I've gotten to play it has really enjoyed themselves and often wants to jump right into another round.
Yeah, Looney Quest, the production value on it is really good. You know, the artwork reminded me of almost like Crash Bandicoot meets Angry Birds. That's what it seems like to me. It's just got this really cartoony feel. It's got this classic video game. It brings back that classic video game nostalgia of like these characters that are very polygon shaped and really cool, colorful. That's an awesome number four, Rick.
Yeah, and it plays 3 to 5. I mean, you honestly could play it with two people. And it's got a lot of stuff, and I probably need to write a review or do a video review of this game soon because people need to know about it. And it's like I'm looking at it right now. It's $21. Like,
that's awesome.
It's such a good value, and I think such a good pickup for especially families. That is my number four. What is your number four?
My number four is throwback. It's very nostalgic for me. The game Stop Thief. And so I don't know that I can say number four would be Stop Thief 1979 version or the 2017 version, but Stop Thief in general. I have a lot of memories of Stop Thief as a kid. It was one of the games that really wowed me as a child when my parents brought this game out, and it had this electronic piece where you would type in, everybody plays a detective at the table and you're trying to catch the thief. And I was just wowed by the fact that there was this electronic device that moved an invisible criminal around a board. And when I typed in the number, when I thought I knew where he was, I could actually find him and it would arrest him. That was so cool to me. And Restoration Games has taken that Stop Thief feel and recreated it for a new audience. They published Stop Thief this year through their Kickstarter, and it is just as incredible. It keeps the feel of the game, but also modernizes a lot of the broken things that made the game kind of pathetic at times. You would try to run after the thief and you're like, I'm doing the best I can, but my die rolls are terrible. And they have taken, instead of taking die rolls, you're actually playing cards. So one person can move 12 spaces and they've got two 12 space cards, but then it's counteracted with some different cards, some lower end cards. Like, to refresh your deck to pick up those 12s, you have to play a one. And so they did a great job of refreshing this game. We did a full review on Stop Thief at One Board Family. And it is just for not only nostalgic reasons, but also the fact that Restoration Games has done an incredible job of bringing that back. My number four has to be Stop Thief.
And I think, Ryan, you should be able to take full credit for them bringing it back. Because back one of our earliest articles in July of 2016, like, I'm looking at it right now, it's like, I keep hoping for a remake of this amazing game, but until then, you know, pick up copies on eBay. It's like, I'm imagining that they were on One Board Family and read that and were like, you know what? We need to make this happen. And then you're welcome, world.
So what's the date on that one? July what?
July 11th, 2016.
Okay, July 11th, Restoration Games was announced at Gen Con that year. Dice Tower Con. And that was the first week of August, I believe, or it was the end of July. So that was written either 2 or 3 weeks before that announcement was made that company even existed. And so that was a dream come true, honestly. So,
yeah. So you're welcome, world, and that's the end of number four. So now, number three for me is Pandemic Legacy Season 1. Now, I actually was about to make a top five video, I think, around the end of last year. Or sometime, I can't remember when it was, I was going to make
It was the summer, I think we were talking about what are our top five, and then we were trying to save it for the right time. It was around the 1 year anniversary of One Board Family.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so at that time, I had a honorable mention for Pandemic Legacy Season 1 because I had just started playing it and, you know, was kind of blown away by that experience. And Pandemic Legacy is a legacy game. And for those that don't know what that is, that means it is a game generally intended to be played a limited number of times. But each time you play that game, the game changes the way it's played. And that is definitely, you know, Pandemic Legacy, I think, is the one that has been able to pull that off the best so far. And you've got Risk Legacy, Ryan, so you kind of have some familiarity with this concept. And, you know, it starts out as your basic pandemic, but even by the end of the first time that you've played through it, it's changing the way that things operate. And, you know, if you don't want any spoilers whatsoever, plug your ears right now. But some incredibly light spoilers are the fact that, excuse me, I don't know where all this came from. The fact that...
Are you getting choked up talking about your...
I know, it's getting me game. It's getting me emotional. that there's new characters that get introduced. There are new things that you can do on your turn, and it's really fun. Sarah and I have played through it several times, and we've enjoyed ourselves. It's very challenging. There are times when you're probably going to lose when you play it, but I'm still enjoying myself. I want to break it out almost every time we have, you know, the time to do that. But yeah, if you haven't experienced anything like that before and you think that this might be cool, because some people are like, man, if I can't play a game every time I want, like if it's limited, like I don't want to play that. But it's going to give you at least 10 and up to 20 games worth of play.
Yeah.
And I don't know, even me, a guy that board games all the time, I don't even have that many games in my collection that I've played 10 times. And it's totally worth that investment, I think, to get your hands on Season 1 of Pandemic Legacy. And Season 2 has already come out, and I'm excited about eventually getting my hands on that as well.
We have some overlap at number 3 because my number 3 is Pandemic. Pandemic, I have not had the pleasure of... engaging myself with Pandemic Legacy yet, even though it's been on my wish list, on my Amazon wish list for 2 years now.
Yeah, sorry for the light spoilers, sir.
Yeah. So
what's Pandemic, the point of playing now?
Please, somebody get this for me. I am looking forward to experiencing Pandemic Legacy, but Pandemic is such a good game. I remember that being a game that I think my wife bought it for me. I think Aaron bought this for me. So many years ago, 6-7 years ago, I think, Pandemic is one of those games that has changed so many minds on cooperative games. Pandemic is a fun game to play. Pandemic is a great way to in get your friends and family engaged in gaming. In fact, I think one of the earlier games that we played with my sister-in-law was Pandemic. Getting them into the hobby of board games. She is a nurse, and I asked her, I said, hey, you want to play this game? You're curing diseases. She was like, yeah, that sounds really good. My brother did not enjoy it at first, but she loved it. And so Pandemic Iberia, we purchased that. Aaron and I purchased that in 2016, I think. And Pandemic Iberia is my favorite version of Pandemic so far. Of course, having not played Pandemic Legacy, but Pandemic Iberia is fantastic. It changes the way that you travel, and it makes it a little more difficult. And the board is beautiful. It's a limited edition game. I really, really love that game. And I love the Pandemic series. So
yeah,
that's number 3.
I think with cooperative games, in the article that we wrote recently on One Board Family about 5 cooperative games you should be playing right now, Pandemic was on that list, and I think I called it like the mother of all cooperative games. And it really, to me, exemplifies everything that you want to do. You're having to work together. You're each in charge of your person, but you must work together if you want to be successful. And there's a lot of cooperative games that just don't get the balance right because you're playing against the board, and Pandemic does that. There's a lot of games that don't, and I think that Pandemic has a pretty good balance where very rarely do I go, man, that was the game that just beat me.
Yeah. It's such a good game. And, you know, I do love that the difficulty can be changed up a little just by the cards that you introduce. It does such a good game of engaging people and, working together. That's part of the reason why we started One Board Family, is because we want families to work together and enjoy their time around the table. And so Pandemic it fits that so well.
All right, Ryan, let's take a break, build the suspense a little bit, and when we get back, we're going to do the top 2 games on our lists, so stick around.
we are back. We are giving you our top five games list as we end the first season of the Warren Board podcast. So we are back with our second most favorite game. Rick, do you want to go next?
All right, Ryan, my number two entry is Escape the Curse of the Temple. I've talked a lot about this game. I know, it's getting ridiculous. I finally got my hands on another one of the expansions over the holidays, so I'm excited about that. But this game is a real-time game, and what that means is you're not taking turns or anything like that. You're all rolling dice at the same time, and what you're doing is you are escaping a temple. I don't know how you got there to begin with. Nobody knows how you got there to begin with, but you are working with up to six people if you get one of the expansions to get out of the temple, and you do that by rolling your dice. You all start with five, and they have different sides to them, and certain dice combinations will reveal new rooms to the temple, which are made from this stack of tiles that you have in the all the rooms are just tiles that you flip over and kind of connect to each other. And then you might also collect gems and put them on the board. And those are what you need to get rid of in order to make the escape easier, because the number of a certain side of the dice that you have to roll at the end of the game all depends on how many gems are left. So often you'll have to work together to get those gems when you move into the room. So you're working together, but kind of sometimes people fly solo. It plays in, I think, 10 or 15 minutes. I think it's, I can't remember, or maybe it's 12. Who knows? But it's a limited amount of time every time. There's a soundtrack that goes with the game.
Doesn't it come with a CD or something?
Yes. And also, if you go to YouTube, you can also find them. That we discovered the last time that we played it is that they have people have customized the soundtrack that plays. So when in the game, twice during the course of the game, a gong rings and you all have to get back to the starting room to be safe. And then you've got like 30 seconds to do that. And then you can go back out to start exploring. Well, with one of the customized soundtracks, the gong rings and it says escape, and then it's a Benny Hill section of music starts playing and goes, and so we had kind of, in the course of the game, been forgetting that we had set it to do that, and so as soon as it started playing that music, we're like, what the heck, and started laughing so hard while also trying to get back to the room. But it also has, you know, even in the base game, there's a couple of expansions that you can add. There's a whole lot of different things that you can add, and I've been slowly adding them to my collection, and it's fun to kind of, you know, you win and then piece back in some of the parts to make it a little more challenging so that each time the game experience is different.
That's really cool. This is a game of chaos. I've seen you play this game. It is mad chaos.
Definitely. But it is, like I said, it's quick. I mean, in my gaming list where, you know, I keep track of what games I've played, we've now played this game 41 times. And so compared to, I think, Codenames is next and it's 26, like, this is by far the game that I played the most.
It's so quick. Do you have the three entries for the Codenames tournament that you and I were in that we lost at?
I mean, I have them in there, but I, like, didn't put in the results. So, we keep it on the down low.
I just want to make sure.
But definitely, if... There are definitely some people that will hate this game. The real-time movement will drive some people crazy, and they will melt into a puddle. But if this sounds like something that you would enjoy, I can't recommend enough for you to check out this game.
Awesome. My number two is much different than Rick's number two, and mine is Castles of Burgundy. This is the game that Aaron and I, when we are sitting around on a Saturday or Sunday morning and there's a pot of coffee on, we are playing Castles of Burgundy. This is a four-player game that is one of our absolute favorites. I got it for Aaron for Christmas last year. And we have played this game a ton. Castle Burgundy, you're essentially building out your kingdom using these little hexes. While the game is probably one of the most fiddly games as far as like little little pieces. The setup and breakdown of this is kind of annoying, but the game is so good that we don't mind it at all. Castles of Burgundy, it plays in about with two players. I think another reason why Castles of Burgundy is so good is that even though it's a four-player game, at two players, it plays fantastic. It's one of the best two-player games I've ever played in my life. And so with two players, you're basically looking at a little over an hour. You play, I think, what is it, five or six seasons? I think it's five seasons.
Five.
So you play five seasons and you're building out your kingdom. There's a lot of different ways to score points. There's so many ways to score points. And so it's competitive. It gets you really thinking. And it's one of those classic games that will be on our shelf 30 years from now. This is one of those games that we're going to pull this game out and say, hey, remember Castles of Burgundy? Let's go. This is a fantastic game. And that's why it's my number two.
It's definitely a good one. It's one I don't get to break out that often because it does take a little bit more time to play. But, you know, it's very fun. You know, there's a dice version. There's a card version. I've got the card version.
We just got done playing the dice version. That's why I was late to this podcast.
Yeah,
because Aaron and I were playing the dice version.
And those games are fun. But I think so far, I think the original is still better in my personal opinion.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Number one, Rick. Is it a drum?
Time.
Do we do a drum roll? I can't drum roll very well.
Sounded just like a drum roll.
You know, I worked really hard. And that was my dog. Maybe he was just helping with
that,
the drum roll. If you
that was actually super helpful. Thank you, Wrigley.
Good job, Wrigley. So my number one, and Ryan, you can probably figure it out by now, is Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective.
Yes.
What a shocker! And I've noticed in this, you know, I wasn't even thinking about it until looking at my list. The top three of my games are cooperative. And I think that is kind of where my games have gone and where my game nights have gone, where there's not a lot of competition. I want people to feel included and I want us all to work together instead of like all trying to go against each other. And I think Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective definitely does that. This is our two-player game, mine and Sarah's, whenever we have time. I think it's funny that I complained about Castles of Burgundy taking too long to set up. When we play this game, it's usually like 2 or 3 hours. And that might sound ridiculous, but it's you don't realize what you're doing and that it's taking you that long because you are having so much fun. The concept of this game is kind of like a giant choose your own adventure. So it comes with 10 cases, Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, and it comes with a map of London from the time of Sherlock. And each case also has a newspaper in it that goes with it. And it's supposed to be that day's newspaper. So you'll often see like a report of that crime written in the newspaper. But there's also usually like little bits here and there that you'll have to pay attention to. And so your job is it starts with an introduction and that kind of leads you to go seek out certain people. And another part of the game is a directory. So you'll go out and look for people at certain spots. So it'll give you a code based on their location on the map. And so you'll go to the through the case book and find that code and then read out what you found. And that will lead you to more clues. And it really, you know, I love Sherlock as a character. It really makes you feel like you're solving a case better than any other experience. Like, I've played video games, you know, I've done the Choose Your Own Adventure books thing, and I think this is by far my favorite experience. And you often feel, you never feel, I've always been frustrated at times, you know, there are things where I'm like, I can't believe the case did that, you know, I can't believe we're doing this, and you never really know, are you done investigating, what am I doing, but I don't know, I just really like this game. We got the sequel that's, features Jack the Ripper cases. That one we've done the Jack the Ripper cases and it's different, and in my opinion it wasn't quite as good. But the other cases might be better, who knows, but definitely that first one. And it went back in print
last year
in 2017, so people can get their hands on a copy. But that is a good game, Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective.
That's one that Aaron and I have actually talked about picking up. I think we asked you guys if we could borrow a copy of it, and we're going to try to get our hands on a copy because I think that sounds right up our alley, something that we would really enjoy. My number one game is not necessarily a cooperative game. It is Dead of Winter. It can be a cooperative game. In this game, you are a colony of survivors at the end of the world trying to ward off hordes of zombies. And the game is put out by Plaid Hat Games. This is a game that every time I sit down to play it, I have this excitement about playing this game. There is a lot of player interaction. I think that's one of the things that I love about this game so much, is that it's not just rolling dice and making a decision. Right. It's you're sitting there contemplating what is the best thing for the colony. What is the best decision for everyone on board? But then you've also got the possible traitor.
Darn possible traitor. I always hate the possible traitor.
Yeah, so there's a percentage chance that there is somebody in the colony that is not on your team. And it's so much fun to deduce and figure out who that traitor is, if there is a traitor. Trying to scavenge resources, going from one place to another to get the things that you need. You need weapons to ward off the zombies. It takes... this wasteland type of atmosphere and condenses it into a board game form that I absolutely love. Dead of Winter, I have some amazing stories from time playing Dead of Winter with friends and playing till, I remember there was one night we played Dead of Winter and it was, I think it went till about, it was probably about 10 o'clock. And I think we didn't finish. There was not a traitor that game, but we just did. We couldn't complete it. We couldn't get everything done, and we ended up dying. The colony went under. And we sat there, and I said, look, we know that it takes 2 hours. Is everybody in for another game? And we sat there till 1 o'clock in the morning playing another game of Dead of Winter. It is such a fun game, and it doesn't come to the table. I think that's one of the things about this game. It doesn't come to the table a ton because it takes 2 to 3 hours. Right. But when it does come to the table, it is an event. And I like this game so much. And every time it gets cold out, in fact, this weekend, we're going to have a cold snap here where we live. And this weekend, if I can get Dead of Winter on the table, I'm going to try to do it because I want to play it now that I'm talking about it.
Yeah. So. I'm so jazzed to play Dead of Winter right now.
It's so cold. I want to play the zombie game.
Yes, definitely.
So that is our top five list, guys. This is such a weird list, Rick. I mean, everybody else, they've got their, oh, well, this game from the early 2000s, it's such a classic. And other people have all these really highfalutin games. And we're sitting here with like Jungle Speed and Stop Thief. And
right.
We're like, I love this game so much.
Definitely.
We know that we have a weird top five gaming list. But we're a little bit different of a website, if you haven't found that out already, hunting around board game websites.
And you know, I think we are, well, I don't think I know, we are a family-centric board game site. But I think if people are paying attention, like especially to your list, like you've got three kids at home and all these games, you know, you wouldn't throw them in the kid-friendly category necessarily. I mean, kids could play some of them, but like, you know, you can still, you know, play other games. Board games are not just for children. If that's the way that you're still thinking, like, they're not. So there are tons of games out there, great experiences to be had. So hopefully we've inspired somebody to pick up some of these games and have their own great experience. And also, like, I think another part of this is don't just listen to us. Like, we're probably wrong for you sometimes. You know, you might pick up a copy of Looney Quest and be like, this game is so dumb. I hate it so much. You know, sometimes that happens. I don't think it will with Looney Quest. It's amazing. But, you know, develop your own top five list. Figure out those games you love and the games that you want to keep on playing.
Most definitely. Now, Rick, we're going to take a couple weeks off, probably 2 to 3 weeks off. We've been producing the show for the past 10 weeks, and we've had a blast doing it. But we wanted to break this show up into seasons on purpose. We want to be able to give you 10 weeks of content that we believe in and then come back to you with some different ideas. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to take the next probably 2 to 4 weeks off. If you are subscribed to the One Board podcast, you'll be able to see immediately when season 2 starts. So be sure to subscribe. Go to oneboardfamily.com/podcast. There you'll be able to subscribe both through iTunes or through Android RSS feed or your podcatcher, whatever you subscribe through, you can go ahead and find a way to subscribe there. And we're going to come back with season 2. Right now we've got some ideas in the hopper, but the premise for season 2 right now is going to be top 5 lists. What are top 5 lists that you guys care about? We're going to have things like top 5 filler games, top 5 card games, top 5 dice games, the top 5 from 2017, the games that were published that year. We may even go back top 5 games of our childhood. There's so many different ways to approach this top 5 list, and we're going to be doing that for season 2. And so if you enjoyed what you heard here, this is just a taste of what you're going to get in season 2. So you guys stay tuned and subscribe to the One Board Podcast.
Hooray! And until then, Ryan, we hope everybody has fun gaming. All right, Ryan, why don't we take a quick break, build the suspense a little bit, and we come back, we'll each do our number 2 and our number... We're not going to do number 2. That's not a good way to say
Hey, you
that.
Guys, we're going to do number 2 right on the radio when we... We're going to do number 2 and number 1 for you.
Why? Why can't
Jeez,
I do
Aaron's
this?
Even saying wow. Come on.
Okay, I got it. I believe in myself.
Okay, you got it. You got it. Go.